Bibles with you here this evening, go ahead and please open them to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Give me an amen when you get there. At least one person's there, amen. A little slow. Who's slow today? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look here at verses 3 and 4, and then I'm going to have you turn over to chapter 4, and we'll read a couple verses there. Starting with verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, if you would, just flip a page or so to chapter 4. We're going to read two verses there as well. Verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Amen. Heavenly Father, I do lift up this time to you. I pray you settle my heart. Give me the words to speak here tonight. May our pathways to our hearts be opened. May we listen with our ears, be attentive, and receive the message that has been prepared. We pray for our pastor and Mrs. Riggs as they travel, such a long journey for them, many hours still to go. We pray for their safety, those travel mercies. We pray for them to be an encouragement to the people there, for them to have the words that need to be spoken, for many lives to be changed. We're grateful for this evening. We're thankful for you and your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As Paul was nearing the end of his life, he weakened inside a Roman prison. But from that cell, from that jail cell, the great apostle, he took steps to ensure that he would be remembered as a good soldier of the cross. He took the time to write to young Timothy and to provide to him the secret for becoming a good soldier. So tonight, it is this thought that I would like for us to consider as we think together about the five qualities of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The five qualities of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I do understand that this is a midweek service. I understand that gathered here tonight primarily is believers. And this message will focus mostly on that. But if you are here and you do not have that precious gift, I urge you, I implore you to get with us. Let us take our Bibles. Let us show you how you can have the most precious gift that you've ever received. The gift of eternal life. The gift of salvation. The only way to heaven. Let us show you, please. And perhaps these five qualities of a good soldier, perhaps this will encourage, perhaps it will even challenge each of us to become the best soldiers that we can be. It's hard for me to say this. I'm sure many of you will recognize the old slogan. Many of you will remember those "Ain't Ready to Be Marine Yet" commercials. Those Army commercials. Be all you can be. That's because they can't quite be Marines yet, but it's okay. So it's all right. We forgive them. I forgot my crayons today, by the way. I'm just going to bring them in, share my blueberries with you. Be all you can be. Folks, be the best soldier that you can. Not for yourselves. Not for each other, but for the glory of the Lord. want you to first please notice that a quality of a good soldier is he is a follower. He is a follower. Looking at verse 3 there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Kevin Stevens. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And church, this implies a relationship. I said this at chapel earlier today. I am so thankful that I have a relationship, not a religion. I'm so thankful for that relationship that I'm able to have. And my friends, the first step for that relationship is to join the army. You know, army of the Lord. Think about it. Nobody could be a soldier for the Lord not until they first get into the army. You have to receive him. You have to get into the army to be his soldier. And as many of us here this evening already knows, this is accomplished only through Jesus as one Savior. You know, Jesus answers in John chapter 3, looking at verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It tells you that a man has to be born again before he can see that glorious kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2, you all probably know these verses. Verses 8 and 9, it states right here, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Your good works are not going to get you into heaven. It goes on to say, not of works, lest any man should boast. Or how about Acts chapter 16, verse 31, where it tells us, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Next, it implies a rank. Yes, folks, there is always someone higher than you. There is always someone higher than you. And the same is so true in the Lord's army. Every child of God is ranked under Jesus Christ. Everyone that is a believer here today is ranked under him and is responsible. You, as a believer, are responsible for following him and his will, not your will, his will for your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at verses 19 and 20, it starts off with a question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know this firsthand. God always, always has a way of cutting us down to size. As an example, though, let's take it to a biblical example. We all know Gideon, right? From a general to a sergeant to a private. Oh, you can read Judges chapter 7 later. This also, it implies a rule. To refuse to follow orders is treason. And when we are in the Lord's army, we have the obligation of obeying his orders even unto death. And notice the call of Christ that even today has not changed. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When we refuse to live as the Lord desires, then we have crossed the line. We have crossed the line from follower, which is my first point, to traitor. Listen to James chapter 4. I love the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Folks, a good soldier, he is a follower. But second, please notice that he is faithful. He is faithful. And first here, we have his patience. Verse 3 of our text, that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, a good soldier endures hardship and does not quit. One thing I can tell you about serving in the Marine Corps, you just don't quit. No matter the call, you do not quit. And I am not familiar with the other branches of the service, but I imagine that it's similar to them. You do not quit. You endure the hardship, or like I like to say, overcome and adapt. You have to overcome and adapt. The soldier realizes that there will be troubles along the way. When I was in Desert Storm, I understood that there would be troubles along the way. Sometimes at every turn. And we're not detoured by them. He understands that pain is often part of the Christian experience. How many of us here have endured pain since we've become believers? I know I have. You can raise your hand in church. It's okay. It's Wednesday night. I don't believe anywhere in this good book does it say once you become a believer, you're just going to have it easy peasy. It doesn't say that anywhere in here. I've said this many times. You're going to be in that valley much more than you're going to be on that mountaintop. We understand that pain is often a part of our experience. But let's listen to Jesus as he speaks in John chapter 16. And listen to verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Amen. It is wise to remember that the Christian is called upon to face life with extreme patience. My wife can tell you I'm so patient. Extreme. My teachers could tell you, I'm just really patient, calm. But we are called upon to face life with extreme patience. Did she say I was a liar? Is that what I heard? Huh? She owes me dinner now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. Here in the New Testament, we see the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith by even the greatest trials of suffering. Do you remember my introduction? Where was he? In prison. But second here, we have his priorities. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 tells us, no man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I pray this is you here tonight, but a good soldier seeks to please the commander. And I'm talking that commander up there. Notice that a good soldier has no higher goal in life than pleasing his superior. The soldier knows that anything which interferes with his performance in the military must be done away with. The good soldier wants to continually satisfy his superior and does whatever he has to do to get the job done. So folks, as we sit here tonight, allow me to ask you this. Allow me this very serious question. Who comes first in your life? Who comes first in your life? Because let me proclaim right here, whatever or whoever it is, well, that is your very God. The church, pleasing Christ ought to be the first priority of every child of God. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, where it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do all. Then third here, we have his practice. Now chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, looking at the latter part of verse 7, it says there, I have kept the faith. I wonder how many here have kept the faith. See, the good soldier guards the truth of the faith. That soldier will take care of the things delivered unto him. He is determined to do a good job, and he refuses to do anything to bring disgrace and dishonor upon his superior. So it should be with the Christian soldier. We all should want to live their life and our lives in a manner that brings honor to the Lord, not dishonor. Are you keeping the faith this evening? Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says here, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it states, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. A good soldier, he is a follower, he is faithful, but third, I want you to please notice that he is familiar. There are some things that the good soldier knows. A good soldier is familiar with the sound of the commander's voice. John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it reads as follows, and we know this is Jesus speaking, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The way to get more familiar with the Lord's voice, let me tell you, is to spend more time listening to it. And by the way, you do this by getting into this great book right here. You do that by getting into his word. By regularly reading those Bibles that you own. It does no good to come to church, open it for a few minutes, go sit in the car and throw it in the back seat. It does no good to go home and put it on the coffee table for a placemat and let the dust build up. If you want to know how God is talking to you, open your Bibles, read them. He will talk to you through his pages. So let me ask you this. Do you, not me, but do you truly know when he speaks? Also here, though, a good soldier is familiar with the skill of using his weapons. Why don't we all turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Just saying that reference, you probably got an idea where I'm going. Very familiar verses here. Ephesians chapter 6. Give me a hearty amen when you're there. Still in the New Testament, Timothy. Still there. Okay. I saw you kind of go in the front of the Bible. I was getting a little concerned there. Let's drop down to verse 10. Of course, we'll read all the way through verse 18. Which reminds us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What's it say here next? Put on the whole armor of God, and that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The good soldier knows that he is engaged in mortal warfare, and he knows that the only way to succeed in the fight is to be proficient in the use of spiritual weaponry. You and I, it would do well to learn the art of spiritual warfare if we intend to succeed for the glory, for the great glory of the Lord. It would do us well. A good soldier is also familiar with the strategy of the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Wow. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey folks, the good soldier knows that the enemy is ever active and that he never rests. The good soldier knows that the enemy is shrewd and ever attacking. But he, being the good soldier, also knows that the Lord is there to help him. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The good soldier knows that regardless of the trap, God will make a way of escape for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I know there's many in here probably hurting right now, right here. But if you believe that this good book is completely inerrant, completely true, 100% accurate from page one to page end, then you've got to believe those verses, that verse right there. You have to. And it says right there, but God is faithful. The good soldier studies the methods of his enemy, will learn his enemy's weaknesses, and then exploit them to the fullest extent of his ability. And the good Christian soldier needs to be wise to the ways of the devil. You need to be wise to his ways. And he needs to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater, greater than any enemy we will ever face. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Also, though, a good soldier is familiar with the shadows of his friends. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Oh, what a reminder how sweet it is to fellowship with like-minded folks. The good soldier not only cares about his own welfare, but he also looks out for the welfare of his fellow soldiers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it states here, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He learns about them by being around them. There is a need for the soldiers of the Lord to train together. Tonight so far we've heard that a good soldier, he is a follower. Second, he is faithful. Third, he is familiar. But fourth, please notice that he is a fighter. He is a fighter. Back to our text passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if we look at verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul makes three statements in this verse that describe the good soldier. One, he is determined. I have fought a good fight. He is determined. The good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. He does not run from a fight. Instead, he stands his ground and fights the battle until the battle is over. Unfortunately, and here's the blunt truth, it seems that many Christian soldiers have dropped out of the battle. I challenge you to not be among that number. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. 2, though he is driven, the good soldier realizes that the battle does not run according to his time frame. He knows that another is in charge of the duration of the battle, and the good soldier is driven to finish. The good soldier is in the battle until it is over, until it is completed. Folks, I do love the Marine Corps. Once a Marine, always a Marine. One thing I can tell you about the Marine Corps is we are in the battle till it's over. Yes, wars have been lost, but Marines don't lose battles. I just watched a video last night. 40 Marines that took on over 500 soldiers in, I think it was Syria, demolished them. They outgunned us, outmanned us. And again, if I was in another branch of the service, I'm sure I would have different stories. But a good soldier is in the battle until it is over. Isn't that right there, Brother John? We're in the battle till it is over, until it is completed. But how about you? Are you? Let me ask you a serious question as we ponder these thoughts tonight. Because we can sit here and nod our heads, and we can sit here and say, oh, not me. But what would it take to make you quit? So often, as I've pastored, I've seen people start in the front row. And they get kind of over here. Then they're over there. Then they're out there. And then they're out the door. They just backslide, backslide, backslide. What would it take to make you quit? A health concern? Financial burden? Discord in the church? Many Christians, sadly, this is sad, but many Christians are about one disaster, just about one church service away from quitting on the Lord. Does that describe you? I challenge you to keep serving. I challenge you to keep fighting. I'll give you a little personal history. I'm pretty straightforward and blunt. I endured two splits at Community Baptist Church. And as a pastor, I just wanted to quit. I wanted to throw the towel in. My first church split, I arrived in July of 2018, officially became the pastor in August of 2018, 1 week before Christmas. About 80% of the church left over me playing a version of Amazing Grace that they did not like. That's why they left. I wanted to quit. I wanted to throw that towel in. The second one, I went to a conference, was away. Actually, April and I went together. It was one of the seldom times. One of the men of the church I considered one of my best friends in ministry started discord while I was away. I came back to that, to members standing up and yelling at me, screaming at me, threw the keys down on the table and walked out, took some with them. You know what? As a soldier, I could have quit. I could have threw the towel in. But a good soldier doesn't quit. I endured it. We worked on it. We built the church back up, and thankfully the Lord has called me here. And I love it here, but you know what? God is going to put some valleys in front of me here as well. I just know it. So I challenge you to keep serving, to keep fighting. Three, a good soldier, he is dedicated. The good soldier dedicates himself to keeping his oath. He is determined to live for the Lord regardless of the personal cost. The soldier keeps the faith. Again, for you, do you? See, he keeps it by living it, by sharing it, and by defending it all the time. And the faith is precious to the good soldier. And he does everything in their power to keep it pure and undefiled. I sure pray if you're a soldier in the Lord's army that that's how you are treating it. And that you're dedicated. Good soldier, he's a follower, faithful, familiar, a fighter, and finally, please notice he is a finisher. Let's look at verses 7 and 8 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you're still there, let's read it together. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. See, here we see that he has resolve. The good soldier is in it for the long haul. He does not quit at the first hint of trouble. The soldier is a finisher. Oh God, please give us Christians with the attitude of finishers. We need some who will stay in the resolve during these trying days. And I'm talking about Christians with deep commitment. And if you don't think we're in trying days, just turn on the news. Just look around you. We went to the regional volleyball tournament to support the boys. And there was one of those protests as we were coming back. And they were blocked off a big majority of the road. It's trying times out there. By the way, Christians are being persecuted. We also see that he has a reason. Why does the good soldier endure hardship and stay in the fight and follow the leader selflessly? Well, the good soldier knows the price that was paid by his superior to make a place for him in the army. Do you know the price that he paid? The good soldier knows his Lord loves him and that Jesus died upon that old rugged cross to make a way of salvation for him. Therefore, he loves the Lord, and no price becomes too high for the good soldier to pay. And finally, we see that he has his reward. We heard about that reward in verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The good soldier finishes his course because he knows that at the end of the war, at the end of that battle, every deed will be rewarded by the commander-in-chief. And I'm talking the real commander-in-chief. For those who stay in the battle, there will come a glad day of blessing. They will hear the Lord say this, and I pray with all my heart, I hear it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I pray I hear that. Church, I love asking questions in my messages, and here's this one for you. What will be waiting you when you meet Jesus? What will be waiting you? As we prepare to close here tonight, five qualities of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. They are a follower. They are faithful. They are familiar. They are a fighter. And they are a finisher. Would you classify yourself as a good soldier of the Lord? If you're like me, you probably recognize areas where you could be a better soldier. Every day when I meditate and pray and go through my own Bible readings, I realize I could be better in an area. I could be a better soldier somewhere. I challenge you to come to the Lord right now. I challenge you as we get ready here to close to let Him make things as they should be. And if you have never joined the army of the Lord, then today, here tonight, would be a good time to make that a reality. My final question for you, when you pass from this scene, will it be said that you were a good soldier of the Lord? It can be, but that is completely up to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Of course, as always, the altar will be open. I always believe that when we have a message, there's something for each and every person in attendance. And if there was something in this message for you, I just pray you come forward. You take a few moments on bended knee. You have that moment with the Lord. Believer, this evening we discussed what it takes. We discussed those qualities to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you once again, would you classify yourself as a good soldier of the Lord? Oh, folks, a good soldier of Jesus is a follower. A good soldier of Jesus of Christ is faithful. A good soldier of Him is familiar. That good soldier is a fighter. And I think most importantly, they are a finisher. Is that you? We do have some that have come, but how about you? Would you take a moment at the holiest place in the church? Would you take a moment at the altar? Would you come on bended knee and ask this question? Can you make that claim? If you are honest with yourself, if you're honest, I bet that you are just like me and can recognize areas of weaknesses within yourself, knowing that we can become better and stronger, knowing that we can be a better soldier for the Lord. I challenge you to have a moment right now. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I really do want to pray for those who may not have accepted that free gift, who may not have that precious gift of eternal life, that gift of salvation. And nobody looking around. I just want to pray for you. If you do not know that you are truly saved, if you are not sure that you would enter into heaven's gate if something was to happen here tonight, would you just raise your hand so I could pray? Is there anyone here tonight? It's always a burden on my heart to have nobody, just absolutely nobody, leave without that assurance of that precious gift. Maybe there's somebody here and they're too shy. They don't want to raise their hand. But let me just leave with this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in him. Have that childlike faith. And then call him in. Confess those dirty, rotten sins. Ask for his forgiveness. And call him in. If you were shy or you're just unsure, get with me. I'll spend some time in his word to show how you can have that precious gift. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the attention given to me tonight. Father, not sure why I felt a little nervous here this evening, but that's always a good thing when we're behind this place of honor. Thank you for this church and these people, for their faithfulness. And I just pray that if we're not quite up to being a good soldier, that we'll work in those five areas that have been listed and that we'll strive to do better. I pray for our prayer time here coming up. I pray a hedge of protection around us. And I once again pray for Pastor and Mrs. Riggs as they're traveling. Be with them on this all-important missions trip. We do love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.